world, and welcome to the fastest growing tech podcast out there, the Gadget Cast. My name is Gregory McFadden, joined always by matching hat co-host and headphones now, Travis MCP.
I finally got my headphones. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, everything is right with the world. Well, not exactly, but everything is right with the Gadget Cast world. As I got not only my headphones, I got my shirt, and I got my hat. I'm all gadget casted out.
Yeah.
Gadget casted it.
We are officially sellouts on the podcast, which I am I am so proud of. That has always been my number one goal, is to become a sellout. And now proud to say we're sellouts. So I think we made it.
It's easier to pay your bills if you're a sellout.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the bills here, they're high, so We gotta keep it, you know, money. I don't know. I was going somewhere with that, but hey, I gotta say, before we get into the show, me and Travis are on video drinking some delicious Starbucks s'mores frappuccino. And I gotta say, they reached out to us, Starbucks, and just like, you know, Soundcore did with these custom, you know, Travis, show off your custom headphones now. Travis has them too, custom GadgetCast headphones. S'mores frapp is now the official drink of GadgetCast. So I don't, you know, I think we're the first ones who discovered this drink, Travis. You know, I think we were the first ones to really, you know, mention this drink. And
yes, no one else has ever mentioned this drink. By the way, I want to real quick mention, there's two things in chat that are really interestingly timed. So Everyday Dad says he likes the hats. He's partial to hats. He does wear hats in his videos. Everyday Dad, today you should be able to pre-order one. Now, of course, Greg dropped the ball on that.
No.
Which we'll get to in a little bit. So you won't be able to order it today, but you will be able to order one of these custom-made hats with this really cool leatherish patch with a gadget catch. You'll be able to wear it proud in all of your videos, as we will sponsor your videos by giving you a hat. Yeah. And then secondarily, 619 WWE fan says, next purple gadget cast microphone.
It's funny you mentioned that.
Little does he know how much time Greg and I spent on a particular website looking at that very thing.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That is something we have to discuss. Listen, we got a lot to get through in the pre-show. It's not pre-show, actually. We did that.
The pre-show's over. I mean,
we got a lot of stuff to do in like the beginning, some like announcements and stuff. Listen, at last show, I said we would be doing a giveaway for headphones. I announced it at the end of the show, though. So, you know, I just want to say we are doing a headphone giveaway. They are the custom Q10 Soundcores with the GadgetCast logo. I have the box right here. These are the same headphones that Travis and I are wearing right now. We're still doing the giveaway. I think we're going to run it for one more week. So this is your last week to enter for the headphone giveaway. Again, you know, it's weird because these are like, I think like one of like the rarest items on earth right now, because there's four of them, like legitimately four of them in production. So if you really want them, all you have to do is tweet at Real Gadget Cast, use the hashtag GadgetCast headphones, or you can send an email to the email in the show notes, or you can leave us a voicemail. All you have to do is just tweet at us and tell us why you like GadgetCast, and you will be entered to win. And we will probably announce the winners on the next show if everything goes well. But we should be announcing winners next show. So make sure if you entered, you tune in to the next show.
Yes, and at that same show, which was supposed to be this show, but it's okay because Greg sometimes doesn't get things right. We were going to start, you know, giving people pre-orders for these and these really cool patches. We're going to have larger size patches with these, which are amazing. I got some on the way to me. Oh, super chat there by Sean. Every week you drop the ball on something. How you survive on a daily basis. Sean Williams keeping it true in the chat. So let's talk briefly about this. He kind of did drop the ball because here's the thing. He had a week to nail it down this week, and then found a better solution hours before the podcast, which was too late to then implement. Take us through this, Greg Garg. How did you drop the ball this week? So we were going to have the hats for pre-order, right? This week, right? I said, make sure you have it ready to go. And Garg was like, yes, I got this. Yeah. What happened, Garg?
All right. So I thought we'll do a Kickstarter, kind of do like the hats, get them funded, get them made. And I did the Kickstarter like last minute. Like I was working on it this morning. I didn't know that Kickstarter had like an 8-day rule before like they can approve like your thing. So, you know, then I started looking for like alternative means. I realized that I do have a Squarespace account and you can actually do sales on Squarespace. So I think we're actually going to do it that way instead. It actually makes more sense because we have different SKUs for the hats and everything. So actually doing it through Squarespace would make more sense, but setting all that up does take time. And yeah, so the hats are delayed. I apologize. I should have worked on that like immediately when I got off the next show. Stop. Okay.
I think that's one entry per person would be appropriate because we'd have to go through all of them. Yeah. Greg's hair went under his hat.
I mean,
so yeah, make sure listen, at the end of the day, you're going to be able to get these. You're going to want these. We're going to have, I think, three colors. Well, actually, you and I have two different colors. So the color we're going with is the color that I'm wearing, and then purple, and then maybe blue. Although maybe we should just have people vote. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. Just stay tuned to like our Twitters and stuff like that to get even more informed. But we'll have more news for you next show.
Yeah.
Also, real quick, before we get into everything else, we also had some reviews that I wanted to go through.
Oh, all right. Let's read the reviews.
Reviews are in for GadgetCast. It is the number one tech podcast out there. So listen, I just want to give a quick shout out to BenderTube, who said, "Seriously, Greg and Travis drop some knowledge bombs in about every episode and keep me laughing the whole time." BenderTube has a really nice channel, so you should go check him out, and we appreciate that. JBrown175 said, "I thought about giving a 4-star review, but Greg got the audio right on this episode I listened to. Also, hashtag cancel Greg," so he gave us a 5-star. Then we got a 3-star review, and normally this is the point where I would cancel this person, Scorpio47M, but, you know, he says that "The host of this podcast really think highly of themselves and their show. In each episode, it seems like 60% of the show is actual tech news and analysis, and 40% of them making inside jokes and promoting their merchandise and Apple podcast app standings. Too often, the show doesn't play well with the audio-only podcast."
Well, so a couple things. Number one, yes, that's our show. That's the show, man. I mean, hello. Yes. We want people to have the merch because we're making money off it. We're really not. Someone was asking how much the hats are going to be. I think the hats are going to be 20 and then the patches are going to be like an additional 6. But if you buy them together, it's like cheaper or something. Anyway, figure that out later. Secondarily, the audio podcast rankings are important. Otherwise, there is no algorithm for podcasts. This is the only way that our show is going to get found, is to get people up in search, up on the podcast rankings, and then people will find us. Three, yeah, we think highly of ourselves. Why wouldn't we? You're listening. You see how many people are in this live stream? Why wouldn't we think highly of ourselves? But the other thing is, we think highly of you, because that means if you're listening, you're incredibly intelligent.
Yeah. Number one, if anyone knows, Travis knows me. I do not think highly of myself. So Travis can take that comment all for himself. Listen, Travis and I try and do a really good job of, we are aware, and we've talked about this privately, that the show is a audio version and it's also a live stream. And there's a lot of chat stuff we ignore as we're doing this live stream. There's if you look at the chat right now, there's tons and tons and tons of stuff we could talk about. But we really do try and keep it really balanced. We love the audio listeners as well. Do not think it is one-sided. We love, if you listen to our show, either through the live stream or audio, we love you. And we don't want you to think that you're like second fiddle. You know, we're trying to make the best show. Honestly, for the audio, we usually put so much work into it that you get a better listening experience. So we're not forgetting about the audio show completely.
Yeah, 100%. How can you rate us on Pocket Cast? I don't know that Pocket Cast gives that option. Yeah. You do. Viper's in the house. Viper, I don't know if you saw that we had our pre-show
official drink of GadgetCast. We were the first ones to mention the s'mores frappuccino, so I don't think I've seen Viper mention it once. So official drink of GadgetCast, official sponsor Starbucks.
Appreciate Tech702 saying, "How dare us receive any type of recognition or profit for our hard work." Appreciate that. You know what, you all y'all being here is all the recognition I need. 3-star Greg, that's right. Thanks a lot. By the way, I want to mention that this is, well, no. So the one 4-star, whatever it was Greg's fault because he did the audio wrong. I don't think that I can pin this on Greg. I think the 3-star is both of us. So Greg, for once, you didn't completely drop the ball.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
For once.
That's it. Well done.
Thank you.
All right. So real quick, let's get into some things before we get into the tech stuff. We also have a special guest later today. I'm super excited about that. Obviously, there's been a lot of stuff going on in the world. We just want to real quick make a mention of this because there was an email asking us about this. Do you have the email up there, Greg?
Yeah. So this was from, I think I saw him in the chat earlier. Oh, yeah, there he is. 619WWE fan. He sent us an email. Let me pull it up and read it directly. He says, I understand the podcast is meant to be about tech-related topics, but due to recent circumstances, could you consider making tomorrow's episode about the current events, or at least part of the episode, if not the whole show? So he's leaving it up to us if we want to talk about current events in a segment or dedicate a whole show to it.
Well, we're not going to dedicate a whole show to it, but we will indeed briefly address it here right now. And that is all the craziness is going on between the pandemic and, of course, the protests that are going on around the world. I think we can make a couple of very definitive statements, and then we will move on from it. Not because it's not important, but because it's been covered. I covered it on my channel. If you're interested in my thoughts specifically, just go to my channel. Links in the description and in the show notes. I know that Greg is pretty much going to use his opportunity here to kind of give his thoughts, because he hasn't really had an opportunity, unless you've been following him on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, if you follow me on Twitter, I think you know where I stand pretty clearly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, if you follow on Twitter, you know. Yeah. But for me, I'll just say we reject racism in every single way possible way. We reject violence in every single possible way. We reject destruction in every single possible way. But if you really think about those words, it goes in every single direction, not just one. So definitely, for sure, if you want to know a little bit more about my thoughts and what I've done, what I'm trying to contribute, you can go to my channel and watch that video, which is called I Sold My Smartphones and Gave the Money to Charity. Interestingly, from the comments, some people are leaving comments before they watch the video. That never happens on YouTube. But if you watch the entire thing, I've had multiple people say, well, you should do this, only to, if they paid attention to the video, to know that I actually did do what they were suggesting I do. So maybe you should watch the video before you leave a comment.
Yeah, that was a really great video you did, Travis. I was proud of you for doing that video. So
thank you very much.
A lot of people have been speaking up about this. Our good buddy Jonathan Morrison has a couple videos on this. Viper, his Friday night stream, was also talking about this. I thought he did a really good job talking about all the issues going on. And listen, Travis and I don't want to spend too long on this, because we like to view this as an escape for people. So, and at the same time, we're aware that even if you love GadgetCast, even if you've been there since day one watching every episode, the fact that we might have a different opinion means that you might just like unsubscribe because you don't agree with it, which we think is really silly, because we don't think this is really a political issue at all. You know, racism should not be a political issue. You should be against racism. You should respect human life, human dignity. When someone says something like Black Lives Matter, understand that it is there's issues that they are dealing with that affect their community. And I've seen like the counter thing where people will go, well, all lives matter. And it's kind of a nice sentiment to say that, but realize when you say something like all lives matter, when someone is saying Black Lives Matter, you're kind of saying their problems aren't real and that their problems don't exist. And they do exist. You have to acknowledge that. You have to acknowledge, you know, no matter how much we love this country, how much we love living here, we also have to acknowledge the bad parts of it so we can move on and create a better society for everyone. You know, in our Constitution, it says that all men are created equal. We should be trying to live up to the ideals of that founding document every single day that we live here. And I still think we have a long way to go. You know, if you don't believe in things like, you know, I really don't want to get too into this, but, you know, systemic racism, privilege, all that stuff. I mean, you really have to go read the history of this country. I mean, I'll talk personally. I don't think I've ever mentioned this on GadgetCast or anywhere. For school, I was a history major. That was probably a big mistake, but I learned a lot being a history major, and I can trace the roots of our country going back. And the more you learn about it, the more you realize that we still have ways to go. The civil rights movement that a lot of people like to point to and say where all the issues were solved, those were less than 60 years ago. All that stuff with Martin Luther King, you, if you're younger, you read it in a textbook, you think it was 1,000 years ago. It was less than 60 years ago. You know, my mom, Travis, grew up, and she would tell me stories like about segregation and stuff like that. My mom's 59, you know? So if she had to live through that time period, obviously there's other people who's lived through that time period, and probably people who have really bad viewpoints who lived through that time period and live at all levels of society and also had kids and taught them maybe the wrong way that, you know, my mom taught me the right way. So all I want to say is, and I'll sum this up, I think I've kind of going on a tangent here. We condemn racism, okay? And, you know, I say we'll take on the biggest foe that GadgetCast has ever taken on. Hashtag cancel racism.
Right.
Hashtag cancel racism. So today we are officially canceling racism on GadgetCast, and we're going to get it done. We're going to cancel racism together.
100%. That's it. That is the hashtag for today. Hashtag cancel racism. If you are racist, please unsubscribe. If you wouldn't mind, that'd be great. I would love that.
Listen, if you're racist, unsubscribe. But if you got like offended from us saying that and you're not racist, you really shouldn't be offended, because you're on our side. You agree that Black Lives Matter, and you agree that racism's wrong. That's a great stance to have. You should have that stance. You should be proud to say that.
Should be pretty obvious. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, iOS 14 is right around the corner. I actually dropped a video this morning about what would be the things. By the way, thanks, Greg, for that idea. It's good thought there from Greg.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What type of things will be coming in iOS 14? When I did the research for that video, I found nothing really interesting is happening in iOS 14, unless, of course, it's all being hidden by the great big Apple. What kind of cool things do you realistically think are going to happen in iOS 14 besides new emojis?
Oh, man, there's going to be so many good emojis. I've covered a lot of the rumor stuff of this about iOS 14, and there's a lot of cool rumors out there. Things like changing default third-party application. So say right now, if you open a song, it'll default to Apple Music. Well, according to some of the rumors, you might be able to switch that to Spotify. You might be able to switch your default web browser from like Safari to Chrome. So that stuff is pretty exciting. Also, there's always a talk like every year of better Siri, smarter Siri. You can see that Sean, who made these hats for us and stuff like that, he wants iOS multitasking, which strangely enough is not really rumored, but I think that's one of the features that seems so obvious that you wonder if they're working on it. Picture-in-picture and multitasking on an iPad already exists, so they can do it. There's no reason why they can't do it. It's just whether they want to do those things. So you cover this in your video. What were the things that you want to see with iOS 14?
So everything that I want will not show up in iOS 14. So it was kind of a funny video because, to be honest, nothing I asked for is going to be in iOS 14. One thing I think that they absolutely could do, and I'm actually kind of surprised they didn't. Now, I've heard some people were like, well, you kind of can do this already. And I disagree, is the notification shade. So on Android, if you get a text, especially if you get a text message, but I mean, it really happens in a lot of things, but text messages especially, you have a lot of options you can take from a text message. When it comes down in your notification shade, I actually showed an example of this in the video. For example, if someone like is asking you, hey, you want to go to such and such restaurant, one of the options can be like to look on Google Maps where it is. Like, it's just an option. Of course, you have your quick answers, which I really like. And being able to just answer right from that shade is something that I rarely was opening my main message app unless I was creating a message. But almost every single response I ever got from something was right there. Funny enough, someone left a comment because you must not be saying a lot of, what do they say, like big words or something silly. Something silly like, you must not be speaking very much if you're just using the shade for everything. And I'm like, well, first of all, I'm not trying to be texting people all day long. It's not my thing. So yeah, I'm not doing a whole bunch, but that should be my choice. I mean, it's a tool. The phone is a tool. Please give me the opportunity to use it in the way that I think is best suited for me, and give me that opportunity now. Why do I have to wait for some silliness in an operating system that, quite frankly, should already have an option like this? Kind of weird.
Hey, I mean, that's like the classic thing, right? You're waiting for all these features. There's different operating systems that have different features. And at the end of the day, it's not like there's anything holding these features back. It's just priority on what they want to work on.
Yeah, I see Genosis in the chat saying, don't care about Siri improvements. Agree with him there. I want external links to direct native apps. 100% agree there. In other words, when you click a link on Twitter, it should open up the YouTube app. No idea why it doesn't work. System-wide, picture-in-picture, 100% agree, and RAM management protection. I think I actually said all of those things in my video, so I 1,000% agree with Genosis on that, 100%.
Yeah, definitely opening links, like when you click on that Twitter link to YouTube and opening it in the Twitter browser of all things, then you have to click on Safari, and then you have to click on YouTube. It is such a long process that really needs to end. That's annoying.
Yeah, someone in the chat also asked, this is an interesting question about leaks, because one thing there are leaks about iOS 14, but it's hard to even call them leaks because for the most part, it's like developers are looking at well, like beta code or something to even see what's in there. Is that how they're doing it?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Basically. So it's not even a leak. It's kind of like just looking at it, right? Or am I wrong?
I guess there's multiple ways. There's leaked code, which some people do have. There's just rumors and reports based on people who have it. I mean, there's so many different things where you can see it. Obviously, there's public betas of iOS 13. There's some features that are enabled in those betas that could point to future things. We've literally seen product pictures like AirPods and stuff like that in leaks. The PowerBeats Pro is something I think was leaked through like a software update. They just like found the images and the assets in like in a software thing. So yeah, it's done multiple ways.
Yeah. So I mean, I think. So the question was about like, do we think that John Prosser's leaks have changed the industry? First of all, yeah, obviously Apple is paying a lot, really close attention to John. We haven't even heard from John in a while. He tweeted a couple times. We think to him to be okay. Last time we heard, he was okay. So yeah, I think a lot of people are really going to be sensitive to leaks all the time now, especially like there's always been leaks, but John's leaks were on a level of, I mean, they were on a heck of a level and way far in advance. So yeah, I believe Apple especially is going to be taking some new, I don't know that you're ever really going to stop them because leaks happen for a number of reasons. Number one, the people within a company that work on those products, either A, want to kind of, if they're especially working on a product, they may want to see what, you know, a product that they're working on that won't come out for a year. It's kind of difficult. I've done this before where you're like, I wonder what people would think if they knew about this and maybe we'll leak it there. Maybe they're a big fan and they want to feel like they think it's cool and exciting to impress someone like John. Like that's why they're doing it. And that's human nature. Unless you can fix the human nature of people, leaks are just always going to happen. You can try to put in other ways to keep people. But if someone really wants it bad enough, they're going to find a way around it. Having said all that, yeah, absolutely. I think all the companies, except for the smaller company, if I was a smaller company, like if I was LG, I would be begging people to leak my stuff. But listen, here's the newest thing, man. Leak this up, baby. Let's go. You know, that's what we thought was happening with the Pixel a year or so ago. So I think for smaller companies, it might be the right move to let them leak stuff out for the promotion. But other than that, yeah, I believe it will make a big change.
Yeah, I'm. I mean, it certainly from everything we can hear, like, you know, it seems like it's changing. I mean, yeah, with people working from home and stuff too, you have to wonder if that's why one of the reasons why these leaks seem to be coming out more than ever. A lot of employees are working from home, and they don't have the stringent controls that they used to have. Working in an office like Apple down at the spaceship, you know, where you have like tight control on products and stuff like that. You have a close eye on your employees.
Yeah. I wonder what kind of things we'll see in the future. Of course, John will be able to tell us because a lot of times he's being told by the people that are investigating him, which is kind of weird. Like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Look, so we have a guest we want to bring in. We might do it now because we have so much stuff to talk about. And one of the things we want to talk about is actually great for the guest, but I also want to talk about why we specifically called him onto this call. So ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know, our next guest is Gary from The Everyday Dad. How goes it, Gary?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. How are you guys doing today?
I'm fine.
I'm just doing the best, I think.
Look, hey, so I don't mean to come off too aggressive. I don't mean to start off too aggressive, but there can only be one number one host that's name starts with a G. Exactly. I'm sorry, Garg. I'm sorry.
Well, he's...
That's 2 weeks in a row you've been smashed by our guest.
Well, hey, Gary, you know, I think your name's a little closer to Garg than mine, so I think you better watch out. You know, you're one letter away from Garg, you know. You're always one letter away from being a Garg, Gary. It could happen to you.
You well played. It you're could right. happen it, to it's you. My hubris. My yeah. hubris
I think what gets me. I think the G's need to stand up against Travis personally. I mean, hey.
I don't know that I can support that. But no, hey, I really appreciate you guys having me on. Thanks so much.
Yeah, so there's a couple of reasons why we want to have Gary on, one of which I know he just does straight up not know. And it's a good reason, actually. But that'll be something that Greg will address because it was a conversation him and I were having. And he was like, you know, how does he do this? I'm like, I don't know. Why don't we just ask him? So let's ask him on. But for me, for those of you who don't know, like kind of my origin story, one of the reasons I even have a YouTube channel or certainly one that's tech-based and doing all the things is because of The Everyday Dad. So If you're not familiar, The Everyday Dad, if you go to YouTube and search The Everyday Dad, you'll find it. We'll have a link in the description, all the other things. But he has a channel that has morphed over the years as the subject, which is one of the things we definitely want to talk about. Lately, he's been doing a lot of laptop and iPad videos, which are amazing. But a couple of years ago when I found him, he was doing a lot of drone videos. And at the time, I was looking to buy a drone. So that's how I came across Gary. And it was a video he did a year in, because he had been just hustling on YouTube, just hustling, doing so many videos. There was a video he did in January of 2018 where he said, hey, it's my 10,000 subscriber special. I did it in a year, which kind of blew me away, because I was pretty convinced at that time, when I was as just a YouTube viewer, I was not a creator at the time, that it was impossible to grow in any type of speed in a short amount of time. So when I heard that, I was like super encouraged. I've actually covered this entire thing in my 10,000 subscriber special. So you should go back and watch that on my channel if you've not already seen it. I go into detail about this, but it was that video that really inspired me to open and start my YouTube channel. You can actually see the comment that I left for Gary when I left it for him, saying that I'm going to start my channel and I'm going to come back and thank you if I've made it. And you even replied to it. And I remember that day was really quite exciting. And like, here we both are. And then when I hit 10,000 subscribers and I released that video, Gary had me on his live stream, which was really exciting for me. So number one thing, now that's my origin story. Where the heck is that live stream? That was so much fun. I used to love going to your live streams with you and your wife. What the heck?
And we miss doing them. The live stream, you may notice that like right now I'm on the potato camera on my MacBook because we used to set up the live streams and it would take most of my Saturday. And as much as we love it and we miss doing it, it was just it got to be the point where we couldn't do anything on the weekends because I'd have to take up my whole Saturday to do it. So, you know, I'm a big proponent of self-care and like you got to take care of you first or you're not going to be able to do any of this. So we had to cut it, unfortunately. I try to, every now and then I'll try to go live on Twitter to try to talk to people. Cause I do, if there's one regret that I have is that we don't still do the live stream. Cause I absolutely, absolutely loved it. And yeah, I definitely miss it. It was a good time. I know she enjoyed doing it. She says hi, by the way, Travis.
Oh, love her.
She said, you're going on Travis's stream. You definitely got to say hi. She is Kelly, my wife, Kelly. She's a big part of, she helps behind the scenes a lot. So it sucks. So when I watched your 10,000 subscriber video, true story, you got me right here. You got me right here. So I appreciate that. And I knew you could do it. So
I appreciate that. Yeah, no, Gary's been super supportive of me for all this time. You got a chat. Jones says, you look just as good at 720p on person as a cam link rocking the full frame, which is a Garg. Garg is rocking the full frame on a cam link. So that should say a lot. And Garg has nothing to say.
No, because you're wrong. I don't have a full frame, so you're wrong. I have a crop sensor. Wait.
I thought you had your
full frame. I have the A6600 for the live stream. I have an A7 III, which is full frame. So, you know, get your facts straight, Travis. You got to learn your cameras correctly. You clearly don't watch enough Everyday Dad.
As soon as you say Sony, I'm out of the conversation.
So. Fall asleep.
And then in the 2430, which I'm all about that 30 life, so I'm glad that I have the Everyday Dad on my side as far as that work is concerned. Wait, do you shoot in 24, Greg?
Oh, well, you don't know, so I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
The only people that know are the ones that can't stop talking about it.
Yeah.
30 frames
per second. I shoot 27 FPS. You know, I like to be middle of the fence kind of, you know, I like to please both sides. So 27 FPS is the way for me.
Yeah, truth. Let's get into it, Greg. I know you had a question to Gary that I think I actually am kind of curious about as well, which is how he's been able to dart between varying kind of subjects. So go ahead.
Yeah, so this is something that I think is like YouTube sin and YouTube taboo. It's something I've discovered watching many YouTube channels over the years is that you never pivot away from what you were originally doing. I've seen many channels attempt this, and more than often, it has been a death sentence to that channel. But you, to your credit, have seemed to navigate this pretty successfully, navigating from, as Travis said, drone content to camera content. Now you have, you've been on like this tech kick doing like iPad, MacBook stuff. I think I've seen you tweet about this, kind of like how you're still doing it from like a creative viewpoint. But how do you think you like manage like going from like different subjects? Because it's very hard to keep an audience that came for one thing and then all of a sudden you start doing another thing. Like I've just seen other channels do it and they just like die off.
Well, so I guess, so I think this is what my fifth pivot now, because I started the channel and I started talking about 3D printers and like motorcycles at the same time. And then I did, and this was the worst experience of YouTube. It almost made me quit. I daily vlogged for 46 days straight once. And then it kind of morphed into drones and cameras. And now more of a general, I always consider it to be a, now I only have myself as analytics. I don't have the analytics of everybody. So when I say like statements, it's more of just my own experience. And I think niches, they're good. And yes, an audience comes to see a certain thing. And I think it's really more important for live streams like this where you're having more interaction. But I think for just a general YouTube channel, the things that I've noticed are most important is relevance. Let's say if I were to list the important things of a YouTube video, relevance, click-through rate, maybe watch time. Because the things that I'm starting to understand over the last few months are that you can't aim for your community if you're trying to grow. If you are trying to grow a YouTube channel, I mean, look at anybody's analytics. You'll see like I get 6% of my views from my subscribers. And I love everybody and I appreciate every single person that subscribed to me. But I stopped trying to target them for content and I started trying to target things that I mean, I'm just a gearhead. Like I love gear. It doesn't matter what it is. Like before YouTube, I was really into mountain biking and triathlons. Now, it morphs over time. So I just try to say it's got to be relevant. And there's nothing more relevant right now than people trying to work from home, needing computers, iPads, all that stuff. So, you know, March was the worst month I've had on the channel since, what, years? Like 2017 was the month that I'd had as low a view count as I had in March of this year. And I just was like, you know what? We had a really good video about the iPad. Let's just go for it. And I just kept going for it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And it seems to be paying off. I think I just saw before you came on, like you posted like the chart of your channel, like going up and up for the last 90 days.
Man, I can't even believe it. Like, to be honest, like I am so humbled and just so appreciative of everybody that watches my stuff. And I cannot believe. So my goal when I started YouTube, I was like, I think I saw a Tim Schmoyer video where he was like, hey, I segment like the people I work with into these levels. Like there's above 1 million views a month and there's under 1 million views a month. And I was like, someday I want to get 1 million views a month. And it's like 3 months in a row now. And I think this month will be at like 2 million. And I cannot believe it. Like I cannot. It shocks me to this day. I like mind is blown a little bit right now.
Yeah, I always fall into the trap of I'm with you there. Like I've always like had like these milestones and I do appreciate them. It's like, wow, I can't believe this many people are watching me. But then I do fall into the trap of like, well, I should do better than this and I should do better than that. So, but you do have to take a step back sometimes and be like, oh, this is nice. This is nice.
Yeah, I think Travis and I were talking about this on Twitter the other day where it's like you set mental goals, like I'll be happy when I get to this milestone. And then the second you hit that milestone, you're no longer happy with it. Yeah. And that's one of the dangerous mindsets to fall into for YouTubers because YouTube, you know, we don't control the platform in any way, shape or form. So no matter every popular channel, you will be on a kick and then you'll be on a downturn at some point. So you got to be like mentally steel yourself for those downturns because they always come and they always suck. And then you're like, well, why am I not doing it? And that's where you got to look at it as a long game because it is definitely, if you want to do this, you will have up months, you will have down months, and you just got to ride that wave and just like keep on keeping on.
Yeah. It has to be love. Like if you don't love doing it, you're just going to fall off because once you hit one of those bad months, it's devastating. And especially in the beginning, like, man, I can think back to when I started my channel and I think about like the views that made me like if I got like 100 views on a video, I was like, oh, man, look at this. 100 people watch my content. That's so cool. When I got to like 1,000 subscribers, that might have been one of like the happiest milestones I got on my channel. And if I think about it now, like 1,000 subscribers, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I was so tiny back then. Why was I so happy? But yeah, you got to love it. You got to do it out of love because you will face those downturns. It happens to everyone. And you'll burn out quick.
Absolutely.
So, Gary, I wanted to ask you, obviously you have a family, which makes content creation for as many. I mean, you push out so many videos, and when you add on what you used to the live stream, I am home all the time and I can't push out as many videos as you consistently have done for the last several years. How A, the heck are you doing that? And B, I love Kelly. She is the most amazing person, hilarious, and seems to be pretty supportive. Although you have said at times, like she didn't, when you first told her you got 10,000, like she didn't believe you or something. Tell us a little bit about how she's been a part of this.
So Kelly laughed at me when I first said I was going to start making YouTube videos. She thought I was crazy. And I mean, in all fairness, I think YouTube is a gamble. Like I think like there are millions of people making content and only very few will ever get any like very few will ever get to 1,000 subscribers. So if you can hit that mark, like I'm not saying that people aren't working hard, because everybody that does this wants to do it and they work hard, but there's a little bit of luck involved and you have to make your own luck too. But it took her a while to come around to it because I was making videos about just dumb stuff. I think the first video I ever made was about like a little first aid kit for kids. Yeah. And there were just all sorts of videos. She didn't understand it. And it was really about the point. So I made a deal with her on that live stream. I was like, okay, I got her a microphone. She would chat on the live stream. And then we made the deal that at 10,000 subscribers, she would be on the camera and be part of it with me. And she was like, okay, well, you're never going to get that, so we don't have to worry about it. And then we did. And it was like, I cannot believe this just happened. And no, she's been totally, totally supportive. It's a crazy thing to do. And it's really, you know, you do have to balance family, my full-time job, and this. So the way that I do it is I have honed my process down to a razor thin, there's no part of my process that I don't know what's going to happen for the next 30 days. So I already have the next 30 days of videos planned. If something new comes out, like let's say Apple drops some new computer tomorrow. Like I have core content. And then, so for example, I don't have it in front of me, but like the XPS 15 that I was talking about for the last couple of weeks, I got a hold of it. I know at least 4 videos I'm going to make from it. So that's between 4 and 5. So that's a week and a half's worth of content. I just have to start making it. And then I've been editing my videos for so long now. I never played piano, but I assume it's like playing piano for my editing. I've got everything already saved. I have my camera, everything set up, just dialed in, ready to go. So if a box were to show up right now, I could have a video out the door of an unboxing in about 2 hours. And that's not, I'm not bragging. That's just, I've done it so much. It's been over 3 years now that I just have the process. And that's where, if you're going to do YouTube and you're looking to make more content or you're looking to make content, the process is what matters. Because if you spend all your day trying to make a video perfect, you're going to fall behind. Like the problem with YouTube, and I don't know if it's a problem, but since there's so much content out there, like recency and relevance has such a big importance, where you'll see people, and I've started doing this recently, where like a keynote happens and you make your impressions about the keynote, and that video is going to die. Like it's not going to last very long. It has a very short shelf life, but it will get you relevance. And so you just, the process, you have to invest in the process, because the camera doesn't matter, that none of this stuff matters if you can't repeatedly do it. So I'm not saying you need to anybody listening, I'm not saying you need to follow my crazy schedule, because my schedule is crazy. But you have to invest in your process, because that's what will carry you through the rough times too.
Yeah. Man. I can vouch for that relevancy thing too, because not to brag or anything like that, but the day like the MacBook Pro came out, I got a video out on it. And I hit YouTube trending, and there was nothing like great about that video. It was just really relevant at the time. All the views came in one day. It was like dead the next day. You would think a trending video would be like, oh my God, it's going to do like millions of views. But it just got so many views out the gate that I was able to hit trending. And then it was like dead the next day.
That's something that I enjoy about the amount of videos that I put out now, is I think it would be unreasonable for a beginner to put out this many videos. And so, okay, let me preface something by saying, if you're just starting out, if you're watching this stream and you're listening to this podcast later and you're thinking about starting a YouTube channel, do what's sustainable. I fell into the trap in the beginning where, and I'm not going to name names, but there was a very, like a creator that I was like, holy cow, this person knows what they're talking about. And there was a video of theirs I was watching. They said, if you're not daily, you are irrelevant. And I did not have a process set up in place to do that. And so it basically ground me into dust. And it was something that just almost made me quit YouTube right out the beginning. Very stressful to the family, very stressful to like me. And so you got to be in a place where you can make content that like you can repeatedly do it. And I totally forget where I was going with that, but I agree about relevance and it's, I agree about relevance. Like it's tough, but you gotta do it. I enjoy doing this or I wouldn't do it. Cause there's been some up and down, yeah. Up and down months.
YouTube's one of those things where I think anyone with a YouTube channel, we all recognize who we are as people. We're just like everyday people, everyday dad, right? So, I mean, the idea that anyone can make it is true. Anyone can make it on YouTube. But at the same time, there's also the truth that, well, not everyone can make it. Otherwise, it would be way too saturated. There'd be like no eyeballs for you. So it's one of those things where it's like this balance. Like if you, I don't know what it is. You're right. There's a lot of luck in it, but there is also a lot of drive and a lot of wanting to do it. A lot of recognizing what's wrong with your initial content and improving on it, which ultimately makes your videos better and learning, you know, little tricks about algorithms, relevancy, all that stuff. There's little things that like you have to learn as you do it, as you ramp it up, which do help out. But going back to you talking about gambling on YouTube, yeah, it is. It's a huge gamble. There's no, you know, you see like these things of like people who are like betting on YouTube. And I think we all come from a place where it's like, you know, it's like, you have like a job and then you go to YouTube, you know, it's not like, you know, quit your job right away. Go spend all your time on YouTube with like 1,000 subscribers. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's something that I'm always like mad respect for Travis for doing this on a full-time basis. Cause it terrified, like it's super, like, especially with this like hot streak that I'm on, it's a very enticing proposition to be my own boss, to make my own hours, to do this in a, like to put it all on black, the roulette wheel hits it. But then it also scares me. So I've got a buddy of mine that I follow on Twitter. His name's Sydney Dionzang. He went full time on YouTube and then everything shut down because of the pandemic, like 2 days later. So it's things like that that terrify me about going full time, but I 100% agree. Like you have to, like, you can't be emotionally tied up in your content. Because then you'll never progress. Like your content won't get better. And what's better, what's worse, it's so hyper specialized. Like everything is so hyper focused on the viewer that what works for Travis's channel will definitely not work for my channel, will definitely not work for Garg's channel. It's everything is so specialized that you have to be able to dig into those analytics and figure out what your specific community wants. And if you can't do that, you will not succeed. Like the quality on YouTube right now, the competition. And what's great about YouTube is it's not necessarily all of a competition. One of the things that I like about the YouTube algorithm is if I'm making videos that are similar to Greg's videos, you know, the two boats will rise together, yeah. Which is a fantastic. I think that's one of the things that makes YouTubers, at least in the tech space, there are insane, you know, parts of YouTube, but I think that's a part that really brings everybody together and makes communities out of YouTubers as well, because everybody rises together in some ways. And yeah, but if you're emotionally invested and you think you have the best content, you eventually will fail.
Let's get to a couple of these questions. There's some good questions in the chat. First of all, let's start here. What are your thoughts? And I know the answer to this, and Jeff from El Jefe Reviews knows the answer. It's, oh, maybe Richie's in there too. What are your thoughts on someone wanting to start out content with just an iPhone instead of a DSLR? Doable or a huge disadvantage?
If you're starting out, you should absolutely start with your phone. You may not even like making videos. So what happens if you spend $1,000 on a camera and then you're like, man, I hate making videos. Now I've got a $1,000 camera here. Phones right now are fantastic. If you're doing outside stuff, the phone's going to be perfectly fine. It's got better... I don't want to get into like a huge like camera nerd talk, but it'll have plenty of dynamic range. It's got stabilization in it. You can edit it straight from the phone. Especially if it's an iPhone. iPhones, like even the SE2 handles 4K video like no problem. So I would absolutely don't invest in a camera until you're sure that this is something you want to do. When I started out, I was using like my phone, and then I used just my wife's 5-year-old DSLR that didn't have autofocus in any way, shape, or form. When I started out. So yeah, you have to, phones easily, no problem. I mean, what's the guy's name? The huge vlogger, David.
David Dobrik?
Yeah, he uses like a 5-year-old DSLR, like a phone these days. Perfectly fine. Perfectly fine.
Jeff from El Jefe Reviews with the Super Chat says, I love me some everyday dad.
Oh, thanks, El Jefe. I love me some El Jefe.
Hey, Gary, maybe off topic, but do you experience the XPS 15 trackpad issue? I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
Oh, I guess you haven't experienced it then.
I like the XPS 15. It almost convinced me to switch to Windows, so.
Yeah, none of that. None of that here.
Yeah, it did. Hey,
Richie says, only an idiot would quit their job and go indie right before a pandemic. Only
yeah, right?
Renee is making fun of himself because that's literally what happened.
I was listening to Renee on a podcast earlier today when I was doing my Sunday walk because I'm an old man. And yeah, no, that's funny.
Of course, Greg looking mean in a hat. And let's see, anything else? Renee, see the exact same thing? Yep. So that's where we are there now. Gary, what of the stuff that you are now, what is like, I can't believe you have 30 days of footage or of content figured out. I don't know what Wednesday or Thursday's video is going to be yet. So I'm amazed. I'm blown away by someone who can, and I want to be able to get to that point. I just can't do it. I guess my question then is like, what is the natural progression for you now that you're in kind of the tablet laptop thing? Are you now trying to swim the waters of that? Or are you already looking like what might be the next jumping off point? Is there like an end game to this particular part of your chapter of your channel? Or what do you think?
I don't know. I just like I said, I'm a gearhead. I just like talking about gear and I could just talk about gear and I'll get obsessed with gear in some way, shape or form. So right now I used to consider like the niche of the everyday dad to be cameras for creatives. Now I kind of feel it's computers for creatives. So I'll just talk about that stuff. If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't work out, eventually I'm sure I'll talk about something different in a year or so. That's one of the things that I also think benefits me having a job that I do on a day-to-day basis is this is just fun for me. Like every dime the channel makes, I put back into the channel. So even if YouTube went away tomorrow or like, that's me. I don't want it to go away. I don't want AdSense to go away. I appreciate AdSense. But even if AdSense went away tomorrow, I'd make videos about something. I just really enjoy the process. I enjoy just talking about gear and I enjoy interacting with like you guys, like creators on Twitter and, you know, in the comment section. And I don't have a follow. I'm like, okay, I enjoy what we're doing right now. It works out pretty well. And who knows? I still can't get over. Like I look at my analytics now and I'm like, I don't understand what's happening right now.
51 drones in the chat. Good to see you. Loaded question for Gary. Do you think drones are a dying genre?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Like Russ knows this. He knows what I think. Look, that's the problem with, that's why I don't stick with like, I don't consider it a niche or I'm like, I'm not the Apple guy. I'm not the Windows guy. I'm not the this. You fall into like, look at cameras. I mean, cameras are currently, that industry is dying. Like right now, if you look at the SEPA ratings for this, it's a industry like sales of cameras over, you know, each quarter, the camera industry is currently dying and drones are right there with them. Cause it's who needs them. And it's not, I'm not trying to say like people that use drones are bad people or that you might not need a drone. If you have professional applications for it, there will be professionals that need certain tools. But for consumers, yeah, no, the laws are now too tough. The everybody's now seen, you know, what the top of their house looks like. Yeah, I mean, that's what I say about not being emotional about your content. Like, I love cameras. I have way too many cameras in this house, and I could talk camera. And my wife is like, "Stop talking about cameras." But I could talk. But it's like, if I want to grow on YouTube, I can't talk about like all the cameras. It's just tough. So yes, I think drones are dying. The one drone comes out a year. It's kind of hard to talk about it.
Question for Gary. How do you attract the audience like you do? You've come up with titles that are going to attract people to watch you and your content. I know titles really matter for video, if I'm correct. Basically, how are you titling your stuff to make people want to watch?
I like to think about, I mean, you got to, I don't consider it clickbait, but you have to like do something to attract people. That's why I say relevance is number one. It has to be a topic that people want to hear about. And it could be you, like once you get popular enough, you're the relevance. But then CTR, like your click-through rate, is very important. So I'm not saying to lie about what's in the video, but you have to make it intriguing for somebody. And I like to do that by creating a connection. So I like saying, is this something for you? Or, you know, you have to, the thumbnail, I don't think thumbnails matter all that much. I know that's not the in opinion on YouTube. I think thumbnails are, they're important enough to get somebody to look, but it's really the title that matters. And you have to craft the title to get somebody to look at it. But how do I get the audience that I want? I ban hundreds of people a day from my comment section. the Everyday Dad is not a democracy. Like, if I feel that somebody has commented and they're not in bad faith, like if they're just commenting in bad faith, I don't even think about it anymore. I see people on Twitter and I see people trying to argue with people that have commented in bad faith. And self-care is number one. And I don't have the mental, like, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I spent a year trying to reply to every single comment and like, I will change your mind. And
nope, yeah,
my brain power is more important. Yeah. Than that.
Can you please unban me from your YouTube channel? I apologize for that.
Did it really ban
no,
you?
No, I'm just kidding. I
don't know. Like,
I'm kidding.
I don't even look at the names. I'm just kidding. Like, oh, you're being a jerk. Banned.
You know, right.
Too easy.
The bad thing about me is I watch a lot of YouTube channels and it's like, I rarely comment on anything, which is bad because I'm always like, comment on my videos. And then it's like, done. Listen, Battery Powered was talking about something I did want to talk to you about. Your thumbnails are really good, even though you said they don't matter all too much. Lighting is very important with like YouTube stuff. Even more so than like you can buy like cameras, but if you don't like lighting can make everything look great. Your lighting is really good. And I wanted to ask you, like, what's the process of like lighting your thumbnails? Like,
oh, I just have one spot set up in my house as the thumbnail station.
Yeah.
It's actually this light right now. So I had to tear it down to set up for this.
Oh no.
But I just have a table that I set one camera in the same spot. And then that frees me up to like mess around with everything else. About the thumbnail. And I got this new table in. Oh, I got two new tables in the last couple of days. And I've really liked how thumbnails look in contrast to that. So I'm using my overhead like camera shot to do the thumbnails now. But it's thumbnails are important. You just got to make them look good enough. I feel that thumbnails can hurt you because if they look bad, people will then not click. But they don't help as much. It's more of like they have to be good enough. Just like your video, your camera quality has to be good enough.
Yeah.
You have to reach that hurdle. But yeah, I just have a one thumbnail station. That's what I'd like to do. And I'm fortunate enough that I have basically the whole basement of our house right now to set up for YouTube. So everything is just in spot. So I just turn it on, it goes. Because again, the process is what matters.
Yeah, 100% agree. I think my thumbnails are just good enough and the content is just good enough to where I slip by. So if my channel is any indication, if you can get views, go look at my thumbnails and you'll see, like, you just got to be good enough.
Well, I'm telling you, it's about relevance and titles. It drives me crazy when people are like, no, the thumbnails matters most. I'm like, okay, you think that. Why have you not gotten any views in a year?
There's only one thing you can put in your thumbnails that'll matter, but we can't talk about it here. So
Rand, we'll talk about that in the after show because I think that's kind of a deep question. And I think I saw something else in here. Let's see, put in your channel. Oh, of course, Greg's Gadgets and Waffles.
That's a thing that's gonna happen. I think we're gonna do the food channel eventually.
I'd watch it.
Oh yeah, Gary, you excited for the ZV-1? No,
not really.
I'm so excited.
I thought you'd be excited.
So you squashed everything, thing, right? It looks like a cool camera, and I very much want to buy one. But I'm trying to do this adult thing where I don't just buy every camera the second it comes out. I recently got the Fuji X-T4. That's my main camera that I've been using, and it's probably my favorite camera ever made. I've been a staunch Lumix GH5 supporter. And it's been a camera that I've used for about 2 years. But this X-T4 is, I used to have to color grade a little bit to get the GH5 footage to look like I wanted it to look. I don't have to do anything to this footage. It just looks perfect right out of camera.
What? Oh, I better order that camera.
Look, the X-T3 was an okay camera, whatever. It was fine. It actually got worse over time as they released firmware. I don't know how that happens. But the X-T4 is the best. I love it.
Uh-oh. Greg's going to be on Amazon later tonight. As we are starting to wrap up the regular show, I do want to ask you the question that I do ask all the peoples. which is obviously you've been out there for a long time now, and people are, I'm sure, have recognized you in public. What's the craziest or weirdest kind of recognition? That's a word. Place you've been recognized at.
So, what, about 6 months ago, I was in an Apple store, and this was before I really started talking about Apple stuff. Mm-hmm. And like one of the employees just like literally, I mean, so I'm standing there. I think it was when the MacBook Pro 16 initially came out, and I was traveling for work at the time. And I was like, well, I'll buy it and try it out. I mean, I got the MacBook Pro 13 right now. It'd be nice to have a nicer one. And I mean, this guy ran across the store with like his phone out at me. It was like, hey, you're that guy. I was like, what? I was like, I don't know. I'm not whoever you think I am. I'm not. I'm not stealing anything. I'm just standing here trying to buy a MacBook. And then he, on his phone was my channel. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's me. And we took some selfies and he was very excited. And I was just like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Yep. Can I go now?
Was your wife at the time?
No, she was not. She was not. I think I've been recognized once when I've with her. And so if my wife, she has what I call a superpower of networking. Everybody loves her. She can make a friend out of anybody. I'm a big introvert, so I don't understand how she does it. But so when people come up and talk to her, she's like, yeah, you're my new best friend, even though we just met. So when people come up and talk to me, it's notable. I generally have an angry face on. So it's crazy when people notice me. But no, that was the craziest one.
That's the RGF, the resting Gary face.
Yep.
Greg, listen, man, your faces bother me. I don't know why. I'm looking over and I'm seeing your faces bother me. Can you change your face a little bit? Thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate that, Garg. Okay. For everyone who's here, obviously we're going to do our little bit of a post show here, the after show. If you're new to listening to GadgetCast, we appreciate you for coming on through. We do a after show for a couple minutes that is YouTube only. So if you're listening to the audio podcast, we appreciate you greatly. Make sure you go to www.gadgetcast.net for the audio and youtube.com/gadgetcast for the video. Of course, you get exclusive pre and post show content.
Yes. Good one, Travis. Really doing a great job.
It was pretty good there for a minute. I was rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
And I fell apart. All right. So let's I don't know. This has gotten awkward. So let's go ahead and let's get out of this and let's do some aftercast because it just got weird. Next week, I promise you, Greg's gonna drop the ball.
Yeah.
We're gonna have the links to be able to buy the hats, maybe, stickers, and all the things, maybe.
Could be real. I'll have to confirm that and I'll get on it right away. So also possibly a headphone giveaway. So don't forget to send us your submissions over on Twitter, hashtag GadgetCast headphones, or you can email the show or leave a voicemail. All three submissions are valid. And then we'll pick a lucky winner to get a custom pair of GadgetCast headphones. It'd be cool.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, of course, we'll see you next week. He's Greg. And then he's Gary. And I'm Travis. See you next week.